Howdy, partners. You're listening to Conversations with Jacob, hosted by my good friend, Jacob Waller. Make sure to check out the podcast where podcasts are available, and check out the video version on YouTube. You can follow us on social media. Facebook is Conversations with Jacob. Twitter is at CWJ Podcast. And you can visit our website, conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com. Hey, you got a show idea? Maybe a guest suggestion? Email us at conversationswithjacob@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Jacob Waller.
And what's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Conversations with Jacob. And, of course, I want to thank Jake Thorne for doing that intro. Also, today's episode number 53. Hard to believe that I'm still doing this after a year. But anyways, today's podcast is a good one. But before we get to our guest today, let's want to do a few podcast plugs. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter. As you heard in the intro, podcasting platforms is Amazon. I think it's iHeartRadio by now. The website's conversationswithjacobpodcast.weebly.com. Upcoming guest, past guest. And also, check out another podcast, The Two Chairs, No Waiting. That's hosted by our guest today, Mr. Adam Newsom. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not, because I just started doing it at the beginning of January, but I've been plugging your podcast ever since then.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I need all the help I can get.
Absolutely. Now, for people who don't know nothing about you, can you give us a little background?
Yeah, my name's Alan Newsom. I have been a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show for a long, long time. But it was really in college I really got started into this and really joined the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club and really started getting into it. And then in about 2008, I started doing a podcast about the Andy Griffith Show, Two Chairs, No Waiting. Yeah. And I got the magazines to swing it, too. I started doing that, and even before that, in 94, I started doing at Mayberry events around the country. I started performing as Floyd the Barber at events, you know. So I've been doing that since 94. I've been doing the podcast since 2008. So I've got what have I done at this point? As we're recording this, I've done 769 episodes of my podcast, about a 60 some odd year old show. So that tells you how big of a fan I am of it. But it's been a real blessing getting to do all this.
Now, he was also in a movie called Mayberry Man, which I have right here.
I was. Yeah, it was that all came about because of, as I said, I do Floyd the Barber at Mayberry events. And actually, I was at Mayberry Days in Mount Airy, North Carolina. It's held in September of every year, the last full weekend. One of the director and the writer of Mayberry Man, Stark Howell, he was in attendance. His dad played Dud Wash, Charlene Darlin's husband, on the Andy Griffith Show. And he was in attendance that year. And he came up during the Mayberry Days event and said, "Hey, I've got an idea for a screenplay. Do you think you could play Floyd on screen?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I guess I can. I've never done that before." And he said, I may write a screenplay about this. And he did. And I thought, wow, I read it. This is really cool. They'll never make a movie. And then, of course, over time they did. And Stark likes to tell everybody that I was very doubtful that we would ever make the movie. But it turned out it's not a remake of the Andy Griffith Show. So anybody that's listening or watching, we didn't try to remake the Andy Griffith Show, but we tried to capture that spirit of the Andy Griffith Show. So it's really about a spoiled Hollywood actor whose dad had been on a few episodes of the Andy Griffith Show that gets caught going 50 miles over the speed limit or something going through a town in Georgia, and he gets sentenced to attend a Mayberry festival and represent his father at the event. So it's kind of like Stark, who's he was there representing his father at Mayberry Days. It's kind of got it's not his life that we're dealing with in the movie, but it's kind of where the idea came from.
Now, when you portray Floyd, and how long did it take to get the mannerisms down and everything into place?
Well, back in 94, the guy that did Barney back then as an impersonator or tribute artist was David Browning, was his name. And basically how I kind of got started is after an event, I just attended an event where he was. And then after it, we were all going to go out and eat. And so as we were sitting around talking and everything, we started doing lines from the Andy Griffith Show. So if you're a fan of Andy Griffith Show, you've probably done this too, where you start quoting from the show. And if you quote from the show, whether it be Briscoe, darling, or whoever, you try to talk like the person. So I started talking like Floyd. I said, yeah, do you see what it said on the sidewalk out there? Bobby Gribble hates him a lot. So I started talking like that. And the next event, about a month later in Ohio, David Browning kept getting me to come over and talk to people like Floyd. And I was dressed in a t-shirt and shorts. And after it was over, he took me to the side. He said, man, you need to get a barber coat and come to Mayberry Days in September. And so I started all the way home. My wife and I talked about this driving home from Ohio, and she encouraged me to do it because I definitely wouldn't be doing this without the support of my loving wife, Jan. So thank her, either thank her or blame her for me doing this. I'm not sure which for you guys, but she encouraged me. And so I started trying to figure out how to act like Floyd. And at first you start trying to do it by looking in the mirror and kind of doing things. And you realize real quick when you look in the mirror, you don't move correctly. And so I started videotaping myself and then watched the videotape. And I started trying to learn what looks like Floyd and what doesn't. And that was how I got started and how I kind of began learning that. But I've been doing it since 94 at this point. So it's kind of, I actually try to have to figure out how to act like me at this point rather than Floyd, because I will fall into Floyd and start doing that voice real quickly if I'm not thinking about it. If I'm wearing a tie, especially, I start playing with my tie and everything, and I fall right into Floyd. So
now do you think your Floyd impression has gotten better over time?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I have some videotape of me when I first started, and Floyd had almost an Italian. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? It was like, how did I ever get asked to do this more than once? Because I watched those old tapes, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, that's terrible. So, yeah, I believe it has gotten better over the years, hopefully. When I watched some of those original tapes, I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't, it was like an Italian Floyd. Oh, hello, Andy. How are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. Instead of like, hey, oh, hello. Hey, Andy. Hey, how you doing? So it's definitely changed over the years. And, I definitely have aged into the role. I think I'm now finally actually Floyd's age. So that's good.
So do you go to Mayberry Days every year?
Every year since 1994. Actually 93 was the first year I attended Mayberry Days. I just attended that year as myself. And then the second year I was ever there, I dressed up like Floyd at David Browning, the Barney tribute artist, his recommendation. And at the time there was only Barney and Ernest T. That was it. And then I was the third guy, back then that was it. And yes, I've been lucky enough. I've been able to attend Mayberry Days every year since 93. So yeah, I've been doing that a long time.
And for people that's listening, and what can they expect from Mayberry Days?
It's really hard to kind of describe. It's basically the town of Mount Airy, which is Andy Griffith's actual hometown. That's where he grew up. And Mayberry is loosely based on Mount Airy. And of course they claim that they are Mayberry, which is hard to deny. That is Andy's hometown. But what you will see, especially during Mayberry Days, the entire downtown area of Mount Airy kind of becomes Mayberry. I mean, there's the cool thing for me as a fan, just walking down the street. I remember that first year I went, walking down the street there, looking across the street and seeing Barney Fife walk up the street and start writing tickets to people because they're stopped on the road. And I'm just standing there going, oh my gosh, look at that. Well, it's that way now too. I still get that same feeling because there's Barney, there's Otis, there's Goober, and there's Gomer and Ernest T. Bass. And there's people dressed up like Charlene is there. Briscoe Darling, Howard Sprague. You're just walking down the street and there these people are, and you start talking to them and they will talk to you just like they're the character from the show. And so the only thing I can kind of describe it like is going to Disney World or maybe to the other one, the Universal, you know, where they have people dressed up like I Love Lucy at those and walking around the street, the Three Stooges. It's kind of like that, and people tend to stay in character, especially at Mayberry Days. Now, Mayberry Days is not the only event like that. There's events in Ohio. There's events, there's other events that are going on like that. But Mayberry Days is the granddaddy and the mecca, I would say, of Andy Griffith's show fun.
Now, how the tribute artists and what's that the tribute artists, and when is your off season?
Right now, the winter like this is usually when it's done. If you're watching the video version of this, I have a beard right now. That's the only time. I basically have had the same haircut and everything for 30 years nearly. So during the winter, I let my beard kind of just grow short, but it grows because that's the only time I'm not Floyd all the randomly month to month. So I've had the exact same. I'm stuck in a. I have a look, and that's just the one I have now. So, but yeah, winter is usually our slowest time.
Alice, and how often do you get booked for events? Are you like a busy person that gets booked all the time, or does it kind of changes from time to time?
Well, I have an actual job that I do. I'm actually an electrical engineer. I'm a computer guy. That's what I actually do now. I'm an IT person. So that's my real job. But I do probably 15. Some years, 20 things a year doing Floyd. I'm going to be retiring fairly soon, and I'm going to be trying. I've never tried to get work doing Floyd and going to places and speaking at clubs or speaking at churches or speaking at Ruitan or Civitan groups or something like that. And I'm going to try to do that when I actually retire from my real job. There's not a lot of money in Floyd, and being Floyd, I'm not trying to make a killing or anything, but I'm hoping I can do a little bit more as I get out. Because I mean, I can talk, obviously I've been doing a podcast for all those years as well. There's a lot of stories I can tell that I think would be fun for people and things about the Andy Griffith Show in general. So anyway, yeah, I usually do about 15 things a year, maybe. And I'm hoping I get to do a few more, but I want it to be fun and I don't want it to be a job. So, I wouldn't mind doing it a couple times a month, but I don't want to be on the road every day either.
Now, do you got a favorite Andy Griffith episode?
Oh boy, man, that almost changes with whichever one I watched last. A matter of fact, I was just watching, because I did the podcast on it last week, I just watched the very first episode, The New Housekeeper, when Aunt Bee actually comes to town, and spotted some things in it that I'd never noticed before. Like when Andy first goes up in that episode, Opie gets sent to his room because he wants to eat his supper because he's mad at Aunt Bee, and he ends up taking a whole bunch of chicken up to his room. And then when Andy gets up there, the chicken's all gone. So Opie accuses his pet bird of eating it, his parakeet. Well, when Andy goes in the room, just a little trivia for you guys, if you're watching this episode at some point, when he goes in there, there's a world globe, like a globe that you can spin, sitting on the bedside table. Well, after Andy goes downstairs to carry the plate back, just it cuts to the next scene as Opie's saying prayers about, you know, I want to bless, you know, God take care of Barney and Johnny and Gulliver, my dog. When he comes, when Aunt B walks in and sees that, she's seen it from the door. That same side table now has a lamp on it rather than the globe, and things change. So that's not necessarily my favorite episode. It's just something that comes to mind. One of my favorites, really, I love the pickle story. I love when Aunt B makes the pickles. It doesn't make sense that she can't make pickles. I understand that. She can cook everything amazing, but she can't make a pickle. And she doesn't even know they don't taste good. That's, you know, that one's a great one. And for as far as Floyd goes, I love the one where Floyd and Barney are captured by the escaped convicts. It's called The Convicts at Large. And they're captured in the cabin. And I think Howard McNear, Floyd, the barber, I love him in that episode. He goes, "Mind hell, if those hamburgers are ruined, I'm not responsible." You know, he's got all these great lines in that movie or that episode.
Oh, I think my favorite episode is when Barney buys a car. He's driving down the road and the steering wheel kind of comes out.
Yeah, when that happens and then Thelma Lou's like, "Barney," that thing, because that thing's coming up. Andy says, I love Andy's line in that one because he goes, "I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before." The way he delivers that is just so funny to me.
Of course, there's the Loaded Goat episode as well.
The Loaded Goat's awesome. Matter of fact, in Mount Airy, North Carolina, there's a restaurant called The Loaded Goat. So if you're there, you need to go check that out. But yeah, it's there's so many great episodes of the Andy Griffith Show to me. Of course, I'm biased. I understand that. Like I said, I've been doing a podcast about it since 2008. You know, I'm talking for 20 or 30 minutes plus every week, pretty much for 770 weeks nearly. You know, I obviously pretty much every episode's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Speaking of Mount Airy, I was down there in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Which I went down there, I seen the courthouse, the service station, Main Street, you know. Mm-hmm. Which I just had a good old time down there.
Yep. And that courthouse that's there, they had a fire in the back room, back part of that building. So it was closed recently. I'm not sure they've got it reopened or not. But that courthouse is actually in the Mayberry Man movie. You'll see it. That's where me and Barney go at one point in that movie. So there's a lot of things, if you go to Mount Airy, that you'll see in the movie. Like you mentioned, the Wally service, you'll see me and the main character walking out front of it, talking about his father. That happens in the movie. So there's a lot of things that will obviously remind you of the Andy Griffith Show in Mount Airy. And you can pretty much go anytime, but Mayberry Days is a very special time to go there.
Oh, yeah. Now in Mount Airy, do you got a favorite spot that you like to go to?
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, when I stay in Mount Airy, when I go there, I stay at the Mayberry Motor Inn. Now, the Mayberry Motor Inn is a little... it would be like a older roadside motel, I guess is what you would call it. It's probably got 24, 25, 26 rooms, something like that. But the family that run it were the Venables, and now the grandsons, the Snows, are running the hotel. And it's just a really neat place to go and stay. They have a gazebo there, and people gather and sit out there and tell stories like we're doing right now with one another. They have an Aunt B room at that hotel that's really Frances Bobbier's furniture from her estate sale when she passed away. They bought it, and it's got all kinds of Mayberry memorabilia in that Aunt B room, and they'll take you on a tour of that if you would like to see it. Of course, the courthouse, Wally's, all that stuff is really cool to see. Of course, my favorite, I guess, overall, I would be remiss if I don't say Floyd's Barbershop, because Floyd's Barbershop's right beside the Snappy Lunch. And it is, during Mayberry Days, you'll catch me in there at least a few times during Mayberry Days. But I'm usually busy and don't get to stay in there long. But there is a barber, and the fellow who actually was the barber there during, for many years, Russell Hyatt, his son Bill is now in there, and he'll take pictures with you and talk to you. And there's a barber in there as well, Jeff. So it's the Floyd's Barbershop, a really cool place to drop by and see, because it's not what the show was based on particularly, but it is, because Andy is from there. So there's it's just a really neat place to go. And then Snappy Lunch, as I mentioned, is right beside it. It's a restaurant. And that restaurant was in operation when Andy was growing up. It was there, and it's still in the same location. And it's actually mentioned during the Andy Griffith Show. They say they'll go over to the Snappy Lunch and get a pork chop sandwich. And they're famous for their world famous pork chop sandwich there at the Snappy Lunch. And
now it's kind of funny that you bring up the Mayberry Motor Inn, because and that's where we stayed at on our trip.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, there are rooms. They have plaques in some of the rooms. So if you stay in certain rooms, there's plaques in there, and it's dedicated to Maggie Peterson, who played Charlene Darling. There's a plaque for other and the tribute artists have rooms that have plaques in them. There's a room that has my name on it. It says the plaque saying in honor of Alan Newsom. I think that's very nice, but my mom did want to tell me not to tell people there's a hotel room with a plaque for me in it, because people might not understand why that is. So, but it's because of the tribute artist work that we've done, and we stay there every year. And the Motor Inn is really great people that run it. I mean, there's a lot of nice places to stay in Mount Airy. I'm not trying to, just push the Motor Inn, but I love that family. They're just great, great people.
Now, do you think the world needs more of Mayberry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I honestly don't see how anybody could say it doesn't. I mean, with all the I run an online chapter of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. It's called Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board. We started it back in the early 90s. And it was during the Gulf War back that point. I mean, it's been that long ago. And one of the reasons that we kind of started doing that is because of all the issues that were going on with, you know, I mean, you had the Iraq War, everything, all that was going on. And people needed a escape from that. And boy, the Andy Griffith Show was a really great way to relieve the stress and the upsetness at that time. And I believe today it's definitely the same way, that sitting down, pop you some popcorn, sit down, watch an episode of the Andy Griffith Show, and all is good with the world for at least 30 minutes. You know, you know, everything's going to be resolved. Whatever problems there are, they're over. And you get to laugh and enjoy these characters that we all know they're not real people, but they are so well written and so well acted that every character on that show, if you grew up in a small town like I did, I know it to be true that they seem like people I knew growing up. Not any one particular person is Barney, but I knew some people that a compilation of them would have acted like that. And I definitely knew the church ladies that Aunt Bee ran around with. I knew them growing up. So there's so much truth in there that I think the world could use a lot more of that.
Do you agree that Mayberry is not a place, but it's a state of mind?
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's one of the cool statements that are made during the Mayberry Man movie. It's not just a place, it's a state of mind. Yeah. And that was a great line in the movie, but it is very true. It's there's an easygoing aspect to the Andy Griffith Show and there's also a belief that people are good in general, that if you treat them well, they'll treat you well. I mean, I realize that's not 100% true, but there's a lot to that. And it's really more of not treating them good, but just maybe believe in the best in people rather than the worst. If you hear somebody say something and you could take it two ways, maybe whatever they said, you could take it like they're being mean, or maybe you just didn't hear it exactly right. They weren't really being mean. You misunderstood how they said it. because their tone of voice was a little wrong or something like that. But if you'll show people grace and not think the worst of them, I think that's a lot of what the Andy Griffith Show, that state of mind we're talking about, is about, where you're kind to your fellow men and women, and, you know, that you give them that benefit of the doubt that they did not mean things to be mean. So give them if you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress doesn't bring you your tea every time the cup's empty, or is not as attentive as you think, try to put yourself in their shoes a little bit. You know, are they the only one working the entire section, that there's nobody else helping them? Or did they have something happen to them that day that they're not, you know, they're maybe not around the time? Show that grace, and I think you'll be happier, and you'll make a happier people around you as well. So, yeah, I think that's what the Mayberry spirit is about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, which I think so, too. Now, and when did you come up with the Two Chairs No Weight on podcast?
The name of it is, I'd been running a website. It's imayberry.com. I run, and I'd been running it for years. And I had this is going back a long time. Most people won't even know what this is. It was called Real Audio. It was an audio format that was made for putting audio on websites that had no bandwidth. I mean, back in those days, you're using AOL to call in and connect up to the internet, and, you know, the modem noise. A lot of people won't even know what that is, but it was in that format. Well, I had several interviews I had done with some of the cast members. They were fairly short, but I had them, and I thought, wow, I need to convert these into MP3 format, like a podcast is, to modernize a little bit. And I thought, well, if I do that, I probably need to do an introduction, explain where these are from and everything. Well, if I'm going to do that, I ought to do a podcast and just call it a podcast. Well, that was the intent. And so I did Two Chairs No Waiting, because that's something Floyd said. Oh, two chairs. No way. Well, I got the magazines to swing it too. Yeah. So that's where that came from, because it'd be two chairs, because I'm interviewing people, or I have these interviews, and it was Floyd. And of course I did Floyd. So I thought, well, this will be perfect. And I started doing the show and kind of doing some of those conversions, and people started listening, and I started getting emails and things, and people wanted me to keep going. Originally, I had intended, even after I decided I would keep going after those few interviews were finished, I was going to quit at 249 episodes, because that's how many episodes of the Andy Griffith Show there are. And I thought, well, that's what I'll do. But once I got close to that number, people were like, they started sending me donations. Hey, don't quit. Here's some, you know, I mean, it wasn't like life-changing dollars, but it did pay for things. And so I appreciated it. And so here I am now at 769, 770, you know, past the 249, obviously. But that's kind of where the name came from and why I got started doing it.
Now, you mentioned that you've interviewed some cast members. Can you give us some names?
Yeah, well, those are very short interviews. A lot of the ones I originally did, because it was like on a tape player, you know, and I was holding it up and it's like, you know, it's got this horrible sound compared to today. But it was, I mean, yeah, we got James Best on a little bit of, we got Howard Morris, Ernest T. Bass. James Best was Roscoe P. Coltrane. He was Jim Lindsay on the Andy Griffith Show. Got Jean Carson. I think I have a little bit of her. I've got an interview with Jim Nabors that I did. That's a little longer. That one's a longer one. I'm trying to think who else. Bernard Fox, Malcolm Merriweather. I got him on there. So I had several like that I had done back in those days, and they've been converted to the MP3s. And since then, you know, I've interviewed a few people, cast members. This past fall, I interviewed Joy Ellison, and she was Opie's little girlfriend, actually she was the Scobie's daughter. That's probably what everybody would remember. The Scobie's that Ben Weaver was going to kick them out of their house. You remember that? And they were, It's basically the same family, but they were arrested at Christmas. It's the same family. They got different last names, but it's the same people. But she was the little girl. And so I got to interview her. I've interviewed Clint Howard. He was Leon. So I've done over the years, several cast members.
And where can people find your podcast? Oh, I know it's at Two Chairs No Waiting, but are there other platforms that they can listen on?
Oh, yeah. You can go to twochairsnowaiting.com. And from there, there's links to the YouTubes. There's YouTube videos. The first 60 or 70 episodes are just audio. And then I started doing video after that. And so there's video after about, I think, episode 69 or 70 or somewhere in that range. I started doing the YouTube channel as well. So there's a YouTube channel. And YouTube now lets you do a podcast playlist. So if you go there, you'll see it. If you go to the YouTube channel, but if you just search for Two Chairs No Waiting, you'll find it. But you can also get to it by just going to our website at twochairsnowaiting.com.
Now, as you mentioned, you're at, I think it's 769 episodes.
That's right.
Yeah. And how long do you plan to keep going?
Until it's not fun or I've run out of things to talk about. But at this point, I haven't even done a podcast about each episode of the Andy Griffith Show yet. So that's another 240 some odd episodes I can do. So there's, so far I have had no lack of being able to come up with something to talk about. And I'm still surprised about that, as are many people that listen or watch the show. They are amazed that I keep coming up with new things to tell you on a show that's 64 years old now, if you really enjoy something, really love it, you talk about it a lot, if it's sports or whatever it might be. And I really like the Andy Griffith Show. I think it's fun. And I don't just talk about the show itself. I also talk about these events that we do and interviews with people and interviews like Keith Thibodeau is another one. Keith Thibodeau that I interview or have audio with. He was Little Ricky on I Love Lucy, but he was Opie's buddy, Johnny Paul, on the Andy Griffith Show. So there's just so much stuff like that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of in these years since the early 90s. And I'm glad to get to share it with people.
Now, when does your podcast air or when do you do it live?
So I do it live. I record it live on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can go to live.twochairsnowaiting.com and it'll take you to it. And you can join us. There's a chat room. You can also, there's a YouTube. Obviously it's streaming on YouTube and Facebook as well. There's a Facebook page for Two Chairs No Waiting as well. But it streams on all those, YouTube. It streams on those places on Monday nights, and you can watch the live show. Now, the only difference in the live show is at the beginning, I sit around, talk to people, kind of like we're talking about. We've got a chat room, and people get in, say things. I talk to them a little bit. Then I actually record the show, and then I come back and talk to everybody again at the end. And so that's the difference, because there's things I sometimes will tell or show on the live show that I don't really tell necessarily or show on the podcast, because I feel like the podcast, even though there is a video version, most people still listen to the audio. So I try not to say, oh, if you look right here on the screen, you'll see where this is. I don't do that. So I will show things after the live show or during the live show that I will say, hey, look at this. This is something you would want to see. I try not to do that to people that are actual podcast listeners, because I don't want to feel like they're missing something. Like, what is he showing? I can't see it, So I try not to do that to people. But it's funny. And my patrons, I have a Patreon account, and people that are patrons, they get access to those live shows, anytime. They can watch them anytime, but that's kind of the extent of it.
All right. Towards the end of the podcast, I like to ask my guests for a closing thought. To you or Floyd, have a closing thought.
Oh my goodness. Man. Well, I could do that. Well, hey, do you see what it says on the sidewalk out there? Yeah, outside the barbershop. Yeah. Bobby Gribble hates MLRs. Yeah. You know, when he wrote that in the sidewalk out there when they first poured it all those years ago. Oh, and now they're announcing their coming nuptials. Ain't life funny. Can't you just see it back in the day? Bobby dipping her pigtail in the inkwell. She'll get even with him now. Oh, yeah. Oh, ain't life funny.
Yeah. Well, Alan, which I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, which I had a good time talking about the Andy Griffin Show and your podcast and, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff that we covered in about 35 minutes.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and thanks. I know you're more organized than me, actually, scheduling guests and getting them in here. I hardly ever have a guest just because I'm too lazy to get it all organized. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, of course, anytime. That wraps up today's episode. Tune in next week for another interview. Until then, God bless, and we'll see you in the next one.